J.P. Ahonen. We are here to talk to you about your comic book, Perkerus, and music. So first of all, how's it like to be out in so many languages now? You started publishing it in Finnish, and then French, English, Spanish, German, Italian, and now Danish as well. How's that like?
Well, of course, it's really overwhelming to have that many translations of your own stuff. When we first started doing Perkerus, we were aiming just for the Finnish market, but we wanted to do it as well as possible, so that now it's sort of the chance to get something out there if any. And yeah, as I was still like polishing up the last pages, I compiled this sort of sample package and started sending it to all the contacts that I had and could gather through my friends. And yeah, I was really surprised that it started really spreading out fast. That we released the Finnish translation, Finnish version of Perkerus in September 2013, and within 2 or 3 months, I already negotiated the deals with Abrams in the U.S. and Casterman in France, and later on with Panini for Italian, German, and Spanish, and so forth. So, yeah, couldn't be happier, of course.
And it's also a it's a very nice thing that you're doing, sort of mixing the two different things of music and comic books. And have you found a large foothold with the metal music community as well as the comic book readers, or is it still mostly the comic book readers that's into it?
Yeah, difficult to say. Like, I think those go hand in hand, like music and comics, anyhow. But so far, I've only seen the Beatles. I mean, there's quite possibly like tens of books of just the Beatles in itself, and a lot of like punk music comics, but I haven't seen that many metal music comics. Of course, there was, I remember in the 90s, there was one about Alice Cooper and Kiss and Megadeth and probably Metallica as well. But anyhow, they were sort of, in a way, band biographies, so I understood. But I haven't seen a comic about music in itself and like expressing that.
You're definitely doing a thing about combining the experience of listening to music with how you draw stuff. There has been a couple of comics coming out over the years where they've tried to do stuff with they've put suggested listenings to the comics, especially somebody like Gina Cluxton Major with Blue Mondays has done that a lot. But I like that what you're doing, you get the reader to sort of have an idea of how it feels to listen to the music. I'll just see here if I can get one of the good examples from that. Might be better getting it the other way around. Let's see. Well, I think it's some dead files of some sort. But something like this, I'll just pause it. I'll just go back and there. Something like that, you can see in the colors that there's differences to how people feel, and you can definitely see that it's people enjoying the music. How's it been like to try to get that through to your readers, and what tricks have you tried to sort of get it through?
Yeah, it was an interesting process, and I think it's up to the readers to say if I did a good job on it or how it turned out. But I wanted to sort of show music through different like techniques or weapons of choice. So there's of course the semiotic part, but there's also shifts in the page layouts and dynamic and colors and movement and all that. Because for example, in this scene when they're on the dance floor and stuff, I focused mainly on getting the movement, and there's only a slight shift in like the panels, but when they play at their final gig in the book, the sort of page layout goes like this. It like starts getting all crooked and all that. And you can play around with a sort of tempo in comics with the layout and what the panel size is and all that. So these were really fun to draw, but they were quite difficult to sort of compose to mainly to just decide how you'd present the sort of atmosphere at a metal gig or whatever. But since Perkeros has a lot of contrast in itself, just like theme-wise and in terms of story and everything, I thought that the colors should also sort of compensate that, so that when they're in their daily mundane lives, it's sort of bland and the color scheme is pretty gray or brownish and flat. But the concerts really like pop out, and yeah, of course, like you can play around with just the notes and getting as much as energy into the picture as possible, and that's I found that was one way of expressing the music and the energy at a gig. And if you think of the color scheme here, it's like green and red, like going back and forth in that. So it sort of like gives you a tempo as well, but it's fast and stuff like that. I don't know. You decide if I did a good job on it.
And one of the things that I like that you've done to sort of get the whole the temporal thing going is also that you do these things with where things from one panel sort of overlaps one of the previous panels, so you can get an idea that it's that there is a temporal thing going on. It must be quite hard doing the layout, as you say, because if you need to know where do you want this to cover and where do you want this to cross a border, and I like that the bear actually plays the drums with sticks. It's drum sticks. They're not gonna break in his paws. But and it's quite an interesting thing that you do with the bear, and there's also a few other characters that you sort of use something that's not really part of what you would call a normal everyday life. But it seems as if it's just, that's just the way things are. There's nothing major about it. It's just the bear who happens to be a drummer. Yeah. How did you decide on that? It's a brilliant idea and it works. But how did it, and it plays in quite well with, there's a couple of jokes about hibernation, and the pulse is okay, he's just sleeping, he's not hibernating yet. And how did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, well, the story needed an element to sort of give the reader an idea that anything weird can happen later on in the story as well. So that's why the bear is there from the beginning, to sort of set the tone in the story that it even though there are elements that are really realistic, it's not completely a mundane, realistic, average band story, that there's more to it. And of course, the bear has symbolic value as well as the other animal characters. There's a badger that plays in a black metal band because of the corpse paint and whatever. And you can actually see him in one of the panels, I think. But anyhow, it's in the beginning, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, it was fun. When we were starting to come up with Perkeros with KP, my co-writer, we both sort of, we didn't know we were doing a graphic novel to begin with. We were just, we have this joint history with KP. We've known each other since the first grade. So we've done all sorts of weird projects together, ranging from making these weird home videos and making comics, playing in bands and making music and all that. And since music was such a huge influence on our daily lives when we were growing up, we sort of felt the need to go back to that time and do something about the music scene and heavy metal and all that. And I'm really drifting off now, but anyhow, since we didn't know we were doing a graphic novel, we sort of just like pinpointed ideas, wrote them down, and I came up with a sort of band dynamic, my version of how the band should look like, and I had drawn this guy who was like a big, big brutal guy. With the logs as drumsticks, and the guy's name was Otso, which means bear, but is also a first name. And before I had sent those sketches to KP, he had made his own list. He said that, well, the bassist could be like, I don't know, 200 years old or whatever, and one of the characters could be an animal, maybe a bear or a dog or whatever. And I was looking at my sketches and thinking, well, I think I know who the bear is. So once again, our ideas sort of overlapped, and it was natural that we needed the bear there. So to us, it was a natural progression of keeping him in the character.
Yes, and you do have a few sort of supernatural or extra natural elements in your book. Don't want to spoil everything, but there's things going on, and I like that you've really had the time to do some of the strange little background things, something like this picture where you can see there's the mega breath thing. And that is sort of the way that whole scene looks. Yeah. The clubs that metal bands play in are usually filled with stuff like that. And you said you do have roots in music yourself, and you've done stuff like that. So, but especially coming from the music scene, or having known the music scene, it must also feel. Both slightly dangerous to the people that you know, and but also quite fun to actually do the parodies of these stereotypical versions, especially the face painted brigade. but how's it been sort of portraying that sort of scene?
What was the last question? Sorry.
How's it been like portraying that sort of scene? I'll just.
Yeah, no worries. Like I said, Perkeros is about contrast in a way, or has a lot of elements that are play around with contrast. So most of the scenery, I'd say 80% of the actual scenes or the milieu where the things take place, they're real. I've taken like reference photos of backstages in Tampere and whatever, and like drawn those. And most of the guitar stuff are sort of realistic. And also, yeah, the backgrounds in terms of name dropping bands and on T-shirts and whatever, they're sort of there to give this more depth to the reader and things to plow through. And I've heard from some readers that I'm making fun of black metal bands. Well, in a way, yes, but I'm also making fun of all other sort of genres of music at the same time. So I don't feel that I'm necessarily like playing down the black metal guys. I mean, I listen to some black metal bands. I listen to some jazz. I listen to progressive metal, electronic, whatever. So I'm all up for making fun of everyone in a way. But it's been fun I'd say maybe in the previous 4 months I've gotten several contacts from different like metal bands that would you like to make a T-shirt for us and whatever. So it's getting out there, and I think it's interesting to see it also affect the sort of music scene in that sense. So it's pretty cool.
And you do also grab onto some of the things about the band dynamics and a band trying to progress, and then at some point everybody keeps telling them, let that guy not be the guy who sings. Just remove him from the microphone. Let him do something else. And I guess that's something probably a lot of bands will have heard, something like that. Might be the guitarist that they need to replace, or the drummer, or... But I think a lot of bands have sort of been confronted with that, change that guy, he doesn't really make you sound good. So you can definitely feel when you read it, you can definitely feel the love for the whole band thing, and for the music scene. And as you said, what was it, about 80% of the scenes are taken from real places, and it's one of these things that you, especially if you read a lot of American comic books, you've got a tendency for some of it is just made up. This is just a wall, because there has to be a wall. You can definitely feel when you read this that it's Scandinavian. You can see the architecture. You can see that's the sort of street layout we would have, and it sort of looks like I haven't been to Finland myself, but it looks like some variant version of something like Copenhagen. It's got the same sorts of buildings and same sorts of stuff and all that. So you do fill it with a lot of details and places. Probably this drawing right now is much more focusing on the comical aspect of people, how they actually look when they play music. I like this, especially I like the final squeeze, which is everything just sucks in. But how's it been doing the architectural scenes? It must take a different sort of mindset doing that from doing forests or just the bands in their rehearsal room. So how's it been incorporating the architecture like that? Because you can definitely see that's a real building, that's a real place. How's that been?
Well, like I said, I took a lot of reference photos and gathered that sort of material as I was starting to illustrate the book. And it's actually a nice sort of change from doing just these characters and faces and poses and all that you can get really anal with the backgrounds and like, oh, how many bricks does this like wall have in real life? And then, yes. And it's been nice to see that some people have been walking around Tampere, downtown Tampere, where the story takes place, and like taken photos of the book and the scenery behind it. So you can actually find those online in some of the reviews and all that. It's of course it takes more time, but once again I think it serves the storyline, and everything boils down to the story and how to emphasize different aspects of that. So I just need to bite my lip and like put in the time, so to say. Yeah, I had something in mind about the backgrounds and stuff. Now I'm drawing a blank here. Yeah, I can't remember. Sorry. That's about it.
But definitely, I think it is impressive work. It is, you can almost count the number of bricks in on the front of a building, and it's really nicely done, I think. I like, you do a lot of different things in this, and I like that there's sort of bits of it where you can see something that looks like you've I'll just pause on that one there. I like it how you get the different sorts of get different sorts of perspective. There's something like the staircase here. It looks like some sort of a wide angle shot from a security camera, or maybe just somebody standing up there and really trying to get far away with the camera. So that you've got a lot of different perspectives in it, and it just doesn't all just look like the same sort of angle. And I think it's really a nice way to break up the narrative.
For example, in the staircase, in my initial sketch, I had drawn it from a different angle, but when I was beginning with the page, I realized that I need to change the angle to show it from above, so that it makes a sort of spiral movement. Because, not to spoil anything, but there's a lot of one of the themes in the story is getting lost in something dark and getting lost in music and sort of the hypnotic feel behind music. Yeah. So that's why I wanted to sort of emphasize that hypnotic spiral thing with the staircase, and on actually Lily's headphones, there's also a spiral there, and blah blah blah. So once again, building the story layer by layer, ranging from using wordplay and dialogue to emphasize an idea, and also like just the composition and all that.
Well, you've definitely done a nice job, I think. Definitely. Let's just see here. There was something I thought about. So this brings us this picture we're now going back to, just to get that. I like you that you've actually brought along some pictures that shows us the your working process, how you're building it up layer. Well, in this case, it's really layer by layer, because you can see the layers out in the side. How is your working process? How do you? I guess you with your sort of style. I guess you start out with pencil and then transfer to computer. But how's that like?
We first scripted the story with KP, so that we were just juggling a Word document from one another, and it sort of resembles a movie script or something like that. And as that was sort of semi-ready, I started to do these thumbnail pages to sort of get an idea of how I would lay out the pages and how many pages a certain scene would take, and sort of dictate how big the book would be and all that. And plus, we didn't have like a book deal with anyone yet. I had shown sample pages to our Finnish publisher, and they said that, well, we're definitely interested, we would like that, but we need to see the whole book. So it was like, okay, well, let's do this. I'll draw the sort of screenplay first, just with pencils, and then they can actually read it as a comic, but I won't like start inking and coloring and editing everything before. So that's what we did. I drew possibly like, in total, I think there were like 240 like penciled pages. I did a lot of editing process as I was doing those sketches, because once again, I noticed that there were things that didn't work when it changed from just a Word document to a comic. Like, okay, well, this is boring. We can't have all this sort of chit-chat going on, and there was nothing visual in it. So in a way, it was a really good process, since I've mainly done these weekly comic strips before. So they're like, ranging from 6 panels to 12 panels max, but the story is there. So jumping from sort of running 100 meter like short distance to a marathon, it's completely different. So yeah, in this case at least, it was a good sort of schooling for me to go through all these different processes and sort of get an overall idea of what a 200-page comic book takes. And I think it did the story good as well, since we edited it quite a bit, even like in the final stages as well. Oh yeah, and you asked about the actual inking. Yeah, so I had the thumbnailed pages, which I had drawn in like A5 size. I scanned those in and started inking in Photoshop. This is the first digital comic I've done. I chose this because I wanted it to look slightly different than what I'd had done prior to Perkeros. I did some sample pages, like tests of inking by hand and all that, but they looked so similar with my weekly comic strips that I thought that it needs something new. But yeah, basically I nowadays do everything digitally, well, at least with Perkeros, so that I even sketch digitally now, and then ink layer by layer, sort of like giving myself more room to change the composition and layout in case it needs it. And I color with Photoshop as well. So yeah, it's all mainly digital nowadays. Plus, since one of the ideas in Perkeros is that the devil is in the details, and there's a lot of like clues hidden in backgrounds and whatever. That sort of digital process helped me get really deep inside the panels without like expanding my original inking size to an A2 or something crazy like that. So I could really zoom in and like do all those little bricks and the text on the backgrounds and all that. So yeah, it definitely took time, but I think it's worth it.
Yes, and it's you mentioned it is a sort of, it's a really large piece of work compared to some of the other things you've done. I've read a couple of your death metal. I don't even remember the title. What is it you call them?
Sorry?
What is it you call them? The
Beelzebubs.
Oh yeah, Beelzebubs. Look him up on Facebook. They are so funny. It's like these guys in the background. It's basically the one picture jokes with people in face makeup, and it's hilarious, especially because it works really well with capturing what people in face paint are like, because they're people as well, but just once in a while they forget that they're in face paint. That does work quite well, I think. But I like how you've the color scheme that you've chosen for it. It's not too bright in the it doesn't look like a normal comic book. It has its own sort of expression. You haven't got the really bright reds and the really bright yellows and the really bright blues. You've got these sort of orangey bits, and you can see the Coke machine here. It's red, but it's really orange. The exit sign, it's green, but it's sort of dusted green. It gives it a nice feel. Have you thought about anything special in when deciding on the color scheme? Or
yeah, I mean, to me, the colors are one narrative element within, like, in terms of telling the story as well. So I put a lot of thought into the colors as well. So as I said before, the color scheme is sort of muted down, but that gives these sort of gig scenes more boost to have that contrast. But also, in the beginning of the book, there's a scene where the band is backstage, and the main character Axel is feeling nauseous, and he doesn't feel well because he's afraid to go on stage and all that. So I chose the color palette to emphasize that, and it's sort of greenish and sort of like ill in itself. But in contrast, whenever they're at the rehearsal space where Axel feels at home and he's like relaxed and like here, if you think about a normal band rehearsal space, they're usually gray and with poor lighting and like green shadows and all that. I wanted to show a different sort of mood and chose a really red, warm color palette when they're at the rehearsal space to emphasize that sort of inner feeling with Axel. So yeah, there's definitely it's a like I said, one narrative element in itself. And yeah, what else? Yeah, actually, the Finnish version has different sorts of papers than the Danish version. It's a more coarse paper and a natural white. So, like thinking package design wise, I wanted the book to look more indie or alternative press, because the story in itself isn't really mainstream or even superhero-y or anything like that. So I think the Finnish version still had the best outcome in terms of the color scheme and how I thought about it when doing the book. But yeah, it works in the Danish version as well. No worries.
That's good. And I think it really does work. And I guess you must also, as an artist, sort of have thoughts about what sort of paper you're using to get it printed whenever you're doing the drawing. And by the way, here's the badger. The aforementioned badger with the that looks like it's got eye makeup, but it's really just a badger. How are the differences between the different language versions? Because I guess some of them might have a difference in size as well as in paper, and some might be hardbacks, some may be paperbacks, and
Yeah, I really like to keep things in control myself, so it's been pretty hard for me to sort of accept that now that there are so many translated versions, I can't like control everything and dictate which paper we're using and how to print it and what the size is and all that. The French version is slightly a bigger size. It's in the BD sort of standard size. It's good in that sense that you can study the details and all that, but in terms of page layout and stuff, I knew it wouldn't work the same way as I designed it, because if it's a bigger size, it needs more contrast between the panel sizing and all that. So in larger format, it looks more stale in a way. It doesn't work the same way as I hoped. But anyhow, there are always pros and cons. But and it was interesting to see how it looked as a paperback in the States as well. They printed a hardcover version and a paperback, and I actually like the paperback in a way because it's something, it's readable. So you can just chuck it in a backpack and read it wherever, and books like to be read. I think they shouldn't be too huge because then you won't take them with you, or they're a nag to move into a new apartment and whatever. So.
And talking about apartments, there's a couple of scenes with his record collection, and how. Some of them are quite hilarious, but it gives a nice view into the whole music file type of person, which I guess for a comic book reader really translates into, oh, these are my comic books. But how's it been like to, well, just break it slightly off, but how's it been like try to incorporate music in such a degree that you do, and how much influence have your own music tastes and your own musical background? How much has that come into the choices you've made?
Let me see. I'll think of a structure with for my answer. Yeah. Since the story is about music, I think we need to incorporate the music in different aspects, of course, in the story, ranging from listening to it to playing it and composing it and getting lost in it and all that. So, plus music in Perkeros, it's really an allegory for any sort of creation, so I could really relate with the main character in terms of getting lost in artwork and my own stories, and I, in a perverse way, took the same sort of route as the main character as I was doing Perkeros. So I was in the brink of sort of losing my mind with the project, but yeah. And yeah, what was the other question about? My own musical taste and whatever. Yeah. Once again, I think it all boils down to the story, and the story itself dictates what the band should look like and whatever. And so we kept it kind of open as we were doing the script with KP. But yeah, I think having a progressive metal band that use all sorts of different like tricks and gimmicks and all that serves the storyline better instead of having, for example, a punk band or a, I don't know, country band or something like this. Plus, if you think about progressive rock guitarists, they're usually pretty anal and like perfectionists. So that once again sort of emphasizes the main character in that sense. And but yeah, as I said, I've been listening to a lot of different stuff, so it would be interesting to do, for example, a comic about jazz or something like that. I'm all up for that as well. But of course, since metal music and progressive metal was such a huge influence when we were growing up, it's sort of been like going back to my roots in that sense.
Yeah, and you also do get to see some of the characters have what some people in metal would call a questionable taste in music, but who owns this iPod and all that. One of them listens to really, really pink pop music once in a while. Just so you know, I'm not gonna tell you who, but it's quite good. I think you've done a good job in incorporating the lyrics they do, sort of drawing them in as waves and as curly things, and which also fits in with the whole story and about how music makes you feel. But I guess you must have spent a lot of time trying to. Just a moment. Something like that. You can. There's differences between how the lyrics are drawn depending on which band does them, and something like this that looks really electronic and it's almost something like something from DOS. Or something like that. That it's really angular and very computery. How did you spend much time considering what to do with the different voices? Or
yeah, for example, here as Diablotus is doing their gig, I wanted it to have a sort of electronic, more contemporary look. So that's why I chose one of those like Commodore, Nintendo fonts and played around with that. And as Perkeros is singing, or the lead singer is singing, it's more like vivid or natural in a way. But drawing the lyrics was a bit of a problem as I wanted to keep an option later on in the following books to also play around with incorporating them in the actual drawing, like in the background or using a different sort of trick how to portray the singing or vocals or whatever. So in this song it's done like this, but later on in the series it might be something completely different. And also, I'm looking forward to changing the sort of inking style or color scheme once again as they perform later on.
And as I said, mentioned, well, as we've talked about a couple of times, just pausing on this once again, which also has that element. It's got a lot of sort of supernatural, extra natural elements. We've got the visuals of the devil pulling apart your brain and licking on it, which is very sort of weirdly sensual, sexual in some sort of weird brain rapey way. But you do stuff like this, and most of the times it is just how people are feeling when they listen to the music or when they're thinking about the music. But then just once in a while it just shifts and there's actually something more to it. And I think you've done that in a very nice way. And there's action sequences in it as well, and I like that you've done a nice job of capturing movement like this, I think. Which parts of the books was most interesting to actually work on?
It varied. I mean, I didn't proceed chronologically. I sort of picked the safest parts first, which wouldn't change no matter what, and to ink those first and all that. But it was good that you had that sort of freedom to shift from just talking heads to something like crazy as that Vespa scene or drawing the guitars and all that. So it's good to grant yourself some freedom. Going back to that concert scene and portraying music, the whole book is a sort of progressive concept album in itself, so there are a lot of different elements and sort of styles in the storytelling, ranging from like the joking around at the rehearsal space to like fight scenes and concert scenes and whatever. But we just hope that it works in a this peculiar sort of mix. But talking about, for example, this scene, it's once again built layer by layer. So there's the layer of what's happening on stage. There's the layer of what the lyrics mean. There's the layer of what happens like on the background of the stage, what sort of happens in the listeners' minds and whatever. And that's what the devil and the brain represent. And even with the brain, there's that there's a lot of symbolic value with the third eye and the pineal gland and all that sort of weird brain chemistry stuff. So if you want to go really apeshit and start plowing through the stuff that we've sort of poured into the comic, there's more to investigate online. Like if you start reading about how music affects the brains and the emotional stuff and all that, there's a lot more if you start really digging in. But I wanted to visualize music as a really sexual sort of thing that really goes into affects all sort of parts of your body. So even this has that sort of clear references to going down on someone, to put it bluntly. But there's a lot of play with visual storytelling plus like the dialogue and all that.
Great, and it's definitely been a really good read. I can see that we are out of time now, but it's been very nice talking to you, and I really enjoyed the book. And if you haven't read it yet, I really hope you'll read it. It's a good read, and it's very nicely drawn as well. Give him a big hand.